lucky enough, happy enough, the discussion maintained. Dhamma Buddha Rakkhita was, he was not there. He also was, so all the time he was not there. So lucky this time when Chandratana is taking part, I would like to invite him to get the starting point for the, our discussion.
Okay, Subhante, we were discussing Parayana Vagga. As probably we can remember, so we started with Parayana Vagga. Parayana Vagga suttas are quite deep, and on the other hand, they are quite concise. And our teachings, Buddha's teachings, are concisely included in all these different interesting verses. And again, the theme of Parayana Vagga basically develops like there was one Brahmin teacher called Bhavari, and he had many followers, many students. And at one occasion, there was an issue between another Brahmin, and he came and asked money from this Venerable Bhavari, and Bhavari didn't have that amount of money. And once he mentioned that he don't have, then this person made a curse to Venerable Bhavari, and then Venerable Bhavari was quite astonished, surprised, and then he want to he made himself like depressed, and it was noticed by one of the deity, and that deity instruct, okay, you better meet the Buddha, you better put this question to the Buddha, and Buddha will sort it out. Then he don't know where the Buddha is, and then he got those instructions from that deity, and that deity mentioned, okay, Buddha is in this Sravasti, and you better go there. But Bhavari, being very old, he couldn't go there, and he instructed his students, 16 main students, to reach the Buddha and ask the questions. Actually, then they ask how to verify whether he is the true Buddha, the real Buddha. And then Bhavari mentioned, okay, there are these different marks in the Buddha's body, and they are properly mentioned in the Vedas, and I will teach you all those marks, and you better go there, and you better verify all those marks, whether they are appearing in the Buddha's body. And once you get to know that, yes, all the marks are there, so then you can recognize he is the true Buddha. And on the other hand, you can ask the questions through your mind, and if he is the true Buddha, then he will understand, he will read your thoughts, he will read your mind, and then he will answer the questions through the words. Then you can hear them, and then you will understand he is the true Buddha. So likewise, so we were discussing several suttas already, and now we have come to the, I think, Todiya Sutta. Next one, Kappa Sutta. Next one is Kappa Manava Puccha. So let me...
To add some interesting points, they walk 1,800 kilometers in search of Buddha, all these 16. And their way of verifying is, they think the question, Buddha must read their mind and understand the question. And when you give the proper answer, that's the way the disciple understands, Buddha can read my question. Buddha can read my mind. And that was a clue given by his teacher Bhavari. And therefore, it's kind of mystics are there. Even though you supposed to met up with the Buddha Maitreya, how to verify? You think the Buddha is 18 meters high and having that much of aura and going on the sky? So these are the fabrication. All the religion books, full of fabrication. Otherwise, people don't believe. But when you met up with the real Buddha, you don't know how to verify. Still the mystics are there. And the 32 special features of the Buddha. Venerable Kassapa had 30 features. Venerable Rahula had 30 features. Buddha had 32 features. So by looking at, you don't know what to look for. The main important thing is, even the truth is in front of you, even the real mindfulness in front of you, how to verify? That is called verification. That's called verifiable faith. Buddha also based upon the faith, but the verifiability is the main thing Buddhism and scientific area share together. All the other things, they have a lot of fabrications. Blah, blah, blah. They are talking about dreams. Buddha also believed dreams. But verifiability is the basic feature that is what lost in Buddhism. Buddhism, no verifiable. Buddha Dhamma, yes. So we being meditators, we being mindful, we always must talk what is something verifiable. Not limited to that, but you must talk about something verifiable so that we can share. So other party can question you. No harm, because they are also human. They also must put into practice and have the same understanding. That's what you call scientific. But this science is not leading to an aim. This is your aim also evolving. Your target also evolving. So therefore, when you go to the target, that is not the what you expected. That is what you call human evolution that stopped much, much, much aeons before. Whatever the scientific, technological involvements are there, but they are just rubbish. But your mind stagnating. That goes through the verifiability. Verifiability here was basically with the thinking a question, other person understand. Recently, not more than 3-4 years, they invented the term emotional intelligence, emotional literacy. When you are sitting in the same place, you must understand each and everyone, the empathy, understand the other person, so understand from you. You are the same with the others. Think from the same token, then you can understand why people are doing this and that. That is because my mistake, that's why others are doing mistakes. The mistakes are not there. I am something wrong. That is why other people are doing mistakes. I am responsible for everyone's mistake. So then it is very easy for you to not to do mistakes. You are enough because the world is full of mistakes. So therefore, understanding the Parayana Vagga, people not take for the topics today because they can't understand. The translation is there. They are literal. Therefore, for the Parayana Vagga itself, there are 5 books in English translation. Bhikkhu Bodhi, he wrote another book. Very recent, a very thick one, that's what. So we are using everything because we are learning. Good, we can proceed.
So I'll read the Pali verse and I'll invite Venerable Dhamma Vijita to go ahead with Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation. In Kappa Sutta, Parayana Vagga, 10th Sutta, Majhe sarasming tittathang ichayasma kappo within brackets Oghe jayate mahabbaye Jara machu paretanang Deepang pabruhi mahrisa Twancha me deepang akkahi Yathaidang naparasiya. I'll repeat the same verse again. Majhe sarasming tittathang within brackets ichayasma kappo. So this kappa is asking Oghe jayate mahabbaye Jara machu paretanang deepam pabruhi marisa. Twanchame deepang akkahi yathaidang naparasya.
For those standing in the midst of the stream, when a perilous flood has arisen, for those oppressed by old age and death, declare an island, dear sir. Explain to me the island, so this might occur no more.
So did he the what? Kappa. The question, his thinking. That's his question. Buddha has to understand what is his question first, and then give the answer verbally. Then only Kappa make sure the Buddha is a Buddha. But now we are that put into words, then we are limited to the language. Language are very, very limited tool. But mind to mind, that is how we call mother's knowledge. Mother is having some kind of understanding about the child because child can't talk. Well, mother supply everything. So this is the best example Buddha given. When the child start walking, talking, he hates mother. Simple as that. As far as children, they can't talk. They, nothing. They think mother is me. Mother's breast is me. When the mother is going, it doesn't matter. But the breast is going, feel lost. You do not know me and not me relationship, the child. But when the age 6 happens, there's a kind of a difference happens in the mental the neurosystem. They understand mother is separate and she is everything. Protection, food, cleanliness, everything. Love. But that relationship is the biggest bond for you to get enlightened. That's the starting point. That's the nourish. That's the hotbed. But that is the most difficult part. Presently, in the Israel, for a young boy, whatever the knowledge they have, renunciation impossible. Because mothers have so much of attraction to the child. We have the Kubodhi is Jewish. We had one disciple. Another German. So they are renouncing for special. Even now, the parent never consider the child as renounced. Because this is my child. That bondages. So the Buddha, he says, I renounce while my mother and father cry. But the story says he renounced at night. But Buddha himself says, I renounce while my father and mother is crying. And Jesus Christ, he says, if you can't hate your mother and father, you will never become my disciple. Any Christians? Yeah, no? No. So Jesus Christ says, if you can't hate your mother and father, you will never become my disciple. Renounce. The starting point, that is happening empathy. This happens in the emotional intelligence. So then onward, I was so happy because people were using mindfulness in the therapeutic and the healing way. Whenever they come to the emotional intelligence, now mindfulness is at the preventative way. Expressingly. Daniel Goleman, he wrote in the book. Now people are thinking emotional intelligence, emotional literacy, so that you can understand why I am behaving like this. I am behaving, I am talking, I am working and all the kind of thing. Why? Because if you are outwardly, you can't understand. You have to, while talking and doing, you have to reflect. Be insightful, then only you can understand. Now here the Kappamanava and the Buddha, two people. Mutual understanding is so perfect. So that is how the first question came. It says, we are got caught up in a whirlpool, birth and death. I am asking you, can you give me an answer so that we are detached from that eternal suffering? So that's the way the verbalization happened. So, first of all, we have to understand to go into the sutta or to go in detail, are we sharing this question? Do we understand Buddhism as a fashion or everyone is doing therefore I am doing, or do you understand the existential suffering, the continuous suffering? Then Kappamanavaka become myself and myself become Kappamanavaka. Any idea? Do you share this question?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a, I think definitely it's what making a, what is driving us is this very thing you're talking about, our caught up in greed and attachment is maybe the deepest attachment is to the parent, to our mother, and to being attached in relationship with other people. That creates that's usually where our defilements arise. I find you know, anger arises in relation with others, and greed in relation with other people, and our emotional literacy, our emotions are the thing that brings forward, you know, this feeling of greed or anger or fear. So it's very deep the way that you're explaining it, with, you know, starting with mother, how mother is the first feeling of greed that we have, and possession, like, there goes mother, there goes my food away from me, and I'm no, you know. So we still doing this in our life with our greed. So we're still attached to that first attachment. I can feel. Thank you. So.
No, in the sutta it says jati jara marana paretana. It says old age, sickness and death, and that is our samsaric suffering. The birth not mentioned in the sutta. in the gatha, but in commentary it says oge jata jate mahabhai. In this whirlpool we get rebirth, that is the source of fear, but we consider birth is as an auspicious thing, good thing. In every civilization, even for elephants, a baby happen, whole herd will be moved. Every female she elephants get milk. That's why they say, we say, I don't know. So we so foolish, we are jara, marana, paretana, we are not happy. But we are happy with the birth. And by the time we are learning, we are already born. That is the complexity of the problem. That is what the first Buddha's first udana, Aneka jati sansara sandhavisang anibhisang. He says, I was searching about the root cause of this thing, but when I am contemplating, I am already born. So how can I see the house builder? I am in a house. I am very proud. I am intelligent. I have good eyes. I have good hearing, smell, tasting, touching, and not like other people. They are in the hospital and they have mental problems and blah, blah, blah. I am no. You don't know this attachment is the root cause of suffering. So it is not, the question is not outside. It is within. And when this is the truth, how can we separate the teacher and the student? That is just a camouflage. You are the disciple, you are the teacher. Buddha is just a pointer. He is just showing only. He is not the teacher. Because he also in the same jam. But the Kappamana is asking, a lot of answers are there if you become old age, palliative kriya. If you have sickness, doctors and hospitals are there. The death is happening, funeral parlors are there, directors are there, they will do. The society giving 1001 promises in the insurance department and everything. So we accept it. But they are not perpetual. They are not, lasting. He's asking, give me a lasting answer. It will never happen. But in the world, there is no such a place. There is no such a place. There is no birth, there is no old age, sickness and the death. Only thing is, put up your resistance, put up your tolerance, put up your the immunity, that's the way. Then only, it is only to you, only to that moment, only to this place, not to everywhere, not throughout, not to the whole humanity. But for you, here and now, it is the truth. You have verified. So you have to first do. Understanding is momentary way. I hope everyone, so far we have experienced it. Momentarily we have understood, here now I am. But our whole way of life is, how can we live our livelihood to verify here now I am, as much as possible while we are socializing, while we are doing so much of works. How to do? That is what you call monkhood. That is what you call ascetics. That is what you call the effort. But everyone can't do it. First they have to experience it temporarily, momentarily, in a spark-like. And then they have to decide, okay, enough is enough. I will take this life. So we monks, we have taken the decision. This dark guy also yesterday came and asked, the black guy, I also wish to become a monk. And today another dark guy from Sri Lanka, he also just declared. I mean, that is a kind of a decision, not by force, not mere by faith. You have to understand a little bit and say, this is possible within this life. And that is how we can give a lasting answer. That is because you are ready to accept the jati dukkha, jara dukkha, vyadi dukkha, marriage. You are ready to accept the old age. You are ready to accept the sickness. You are ready to accept the death. And accordingly, you can do something to the next birth. You can't remove the present birth. It is suicidal. Buddha is not suicidal. But talking and working to the next birth is epistemological suicidal. You are in a intelligent way, you are not going to have a birth. Because in the present world, by your resistance, by your immunity, you remove all the shackles, all the hooks, all the relationships, but still you are living. So this is very important. That is why the sutta is giving the way out after doing. Buddha lived with us 45 years, and Kapamanok also under understanding, he also witnessed something, but this very short one. So therefore if we have not understood in the our own way, in the partial way, in the momentary way, the sutta you can't understand. It has just begun literally understanding. But if you have certain amount of understanding, a little bit of momentarily or partially, then we can say with all the defilements and the weakness, if I manage to do this, what will happen if I am going to change my livelihood, live with this the true people, I mean friendly people, then I find least frictional path slowly. With that idea, we can proceed to the sutta. If anyone is having some remarks or any contribution, welcome.
I'll read the Pali verse which Buddha answers. Majje sarasming tittatang, within bracket, kappati bhagava, oge jate mahabhaye, jara machu paretanang, deepang pabrumi kappati. Majje sarasming tittatang, oge jate mahabhaye, jara machu paretanang, deepang pabrumi kappati. So that is how Buddha begins, and then he answers, akinchanang anadanang, etang deepang anaparang, nibbanamiti tambrumi, jara machu parikhayang.
You can go to the English translation.
For those standing in the midst of the stream, when a perilous flood has arisen, for those oppressed by old age and death, let me declare an island to you. Owning nothing, taking nothing, this is the island with nothing further. I call this Nibbana, the extinction of old age and death.
The first one is affirming. Yes, I can give an answer. I understood your question because it's happening in the mentally. The Buddha affirming. Yes, I am an answer. So that is the way the Kappa comes to know is the Buddha. And the other thing is, without giving the answer, affirmation. You have to first develop his faith, yes. And then he says, when there is nothing, you have everything. That is where the language can't touch. We think happiness is with the luxurious items, things. And people are searching. Nothing. They got items. They got infrastructure. They got communication facilities and fast transport and everything. But the tension and frustration ever increasing. So therefore have an island, nothing, no bondages. And there you find everything. That means equation come, nothing is equal to everything. So our whole worldly knowledge is bullshit. Zero. I mean, that is what we are being occupied so far. And it is always give a partial truth. The Buddha says it is not answering, it is not allowing, it is not directing you to go to nothing because you think it has a lost. But I am assuring you, nothingness is the everything. Then that island will be your base, and there I will assure you there is no rebirth. So how much in our meditation, how much in our walking meditation, we go to from thing to nothing, boundaries to no boundaries, known to unknown, explainable to unexplainable, ego to non-egotistic situation. So if that is happening, maybe occasional, that is what we have to talk, that is what we have to report, then our seconding of that idea, the temporary coming as a proposal, by seconding, by writing and expressing, Buddha says we get galvanized, we get immunized, we get reinforced. That's why we are organizing discussions like that. So we have to express, we have to show, we have to share. It appears like a confess. It appears like a regretting. I have this kind of that mistakes. But sometimes still I can be with the breath. I can go to nothingness. Earlier I had the fear. That's called fear of freedom, fear of unknown. Now I am ready for fear of unknown. Then you are worth calling a bhikkhu, worth calling an ascetic, worth calling a person with energy, and you are slowly uplifted. That is fairly explained by Upandita Sayadaw, but it's not directly. But with that knowledge, if you put into the sutta, the basic source, then we can say, Akinchanam anadanam etandippam anaparam. Nibbana miti tang brumi jarapachu parikkayam. Jaramachu parikkayam. Make your own island, the nothing. Kinchana means something. Akinchana means nothing. That is I call Nibbana. So in meditation, if you lose the time and space, you don't know where am I, and how many minutes I am sitting, that is a kind of a sign the escapism is there. The tunnel end is there. Many people, unless otherwise you promoted, unless otherwise you instructed, they think it is a miss. They think I lost. It's not possible to explain. Therefore, the Shunyata Padisangyutta or the nothingness-related things are not much in the discussion. Theravada interpretation, very weak. But the Mahayana interpretation, there are a lot of thing on the Shunyata. And it has some epithets. Tuchyata, Ritata, Shunyata, Anatata. All are negative to the present day, this technological development. So therefore, youngsters are not happy. They are happy with scientific education, technological development, but to not go to the sunyata, tuchyata, ritata, they think it is Asiatic knowledge, that is old age, you must have long beard, you must be ascetic, you must be rejected from the society, and you are above the cloud, and therefore, it is not human, it is not worldly, it is something. No. Of course they are uplifting, but not above sky, above clouds.
Okasabante, now in this verse actually very briefly Buddha simply mentioned what is Nibbana, Akinchanam and Anadanam. Akinchanam basically, as Bante mentioned, there is nothing, and particularly as we just discussed, so we prepare things, we create things based upon our lust, hatred and delusion, And in another sutta, in Mahavedala Sutta, it is mentioned, Rago ko auso kinchanam, doso kinchanam, moho kinchanam. Kile, yeah, kinchana. So in one sense, we can say, when we have lust, we create something. We have a girlfriend, we have a boyfriend, we have a wife, we have a husband, we have a brother, we have sister. So all that creation, all that preparation, all that fabrication happen because I want to make something. I have a tendency to create something. I want to create someone who is so special. So someone is so special to me, so I create someone. So among others, okay, someone is so special. So as a result of my attachment, as a result of my like, desire, so there is someone so special. And similarly, when hatred is there, so I create someone. He is my enemy. I hate him. So among others, so someone is special to me. So I hate him. And on the other hand, through the delusion, so we create something. Because literally or logically, truly, when there is nothing, even though there is nothing, but for us, it appears like there is something. So lust, hatred and delusion, on the other hand, are quite responsible to create something. And so us, it is something is there and someone is there. So therefore, it is quite easy to attach to this something or to this someone. But on the other hand, through the wisdom, if we are able to understand, okay, there is no someone and there is no something, then the mind has nothing, basically. So mind emerges in the nothingness, basically has no, internal or external, near and far, you and me. So that kind of, there is no any kind of such division. So as even in the previous discussion, as Bhante has mentioned, so the vijnana, the task of the vijnana is to create me and not me, to recognize, have such a division, me and not me. So at this level, at the Nibbanic level, so such kind of a division, distinction can't be there. So anyway, even though this verse simply say what Nibbana simply defines as akinchanang and anadanang, it has a very broader meaning. So it's very difficult to understand merely using these two words, the nature or the characteristics of Nibbana. But if we go a little deeper with the help of other suttas, so these two words have very broad meaning. And even the anadanang, I think there is no upadana or anadanang, no ganima. So that means not literally going after, or not attaching to anything, not grasping. So that means the mind has nothing to grasp. And again, since there is nothing to grasp, mind is liberated, mind is freed. So that freed mind is just empty. So very difficult in one sense to understand simply by these two words. But as we analyze and get some help from the other suttas, and it has so deeper meaning. And again, Buddha affirms, and this is the Nibbana, this is the experience of Nibbana, there is nothing else. Na aparang. So that means there is nothing else, okay, this is it. So if someone is asking, okay, what is Nibbana? Okay, we can simply give this kind of an answer, but still no one can understand. Akinchanam. But when we little analyze it and get some help, light from the other suttas, then it slowly we have something to discuss. So this is something Bhante I thought of sharing with.
That is that raga dosa moha, that is defilements is creating or holding something. So world is full of things. You either create such a thing or you get the support of that thing. So as for the creature and the creator is there, definitely desire is there. So therefore, the theism always have a creator. Creator, creation motivated by tanha. Motivated by, of course, when you go detail, tanha, mana, ditti, or raga, dosa, moha also sometimes. So basic single, if you reduce, if you are to create something, tanha must be there. Motivation must be there. So that is why creator cannot have a base. Creator can have a source. So therefore, whenever you have tanha, you are a creator. Not the omnipresent God. You can create anything.
If you wish.
In Sinhala we call hita giya dana adara raja maligawa sadi. If you love something, no harm, no disturb, you can love. Lovable features, immaterial. So therefore, that is how we are, that my tanha, my desire is the omnipotent, omnipresent God. We are driven by it and we are loved by its product. So much so, tanha is proliferating. You stop seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching and see how much mind become bewildered. How much mind become wandering because it can't live without creating. Without implementing the raga dosa moha. So therefore, whenever you are about to see, I see nothing, hear nothing, smell, taste, touch and mind is nothing, that's the closest form of nibbana from the worldly point of view. But we hate it because fear of unknown. Eric Fromm's book on fear of unknown, philosophically explained, people are very busy, people are very occupied, because they want to do something. Ergo cogito sum. I think, therefore I am. So that is the part when you are going to a cave and sitting, and when you are confined to the breath, and when the breath is also disappeared, you have to understand how much our ego is fighting. Ego is making questions, feel uncomfortable, feel baseless, feel nothing to explain, no epithets, no examples given. But we do not know how to facilitate it. When the nothingness happens, you feel like lost. So then the fear arises. That means defilement. So therefore, how many times you have to practice not only earning that nothingness, but to how to work with it choicelessly, be awareness, evilly suspended attention, non-reaction. So that is being explained, basic qualities of mindfulness. Mindfulness means choiceless awareness. Mindfulness means evilly suspended attention. Mindfulness is non-reaction, non-coercive. So we have it. It's a birthright. It is nothing you get by meditating, nothing by following Buddha. But the other teachers I found in their sacred books, they have tried to communicate with it. But they are not pragmatic. They are not linear relationship, how to go. Philosophically, they agree. They are talking about. But the path, gradual path is missing. So we are the present examples of the gradual path. After 2600 years, still we are sacrificing our life and try our best to trot the path because we have some glimpses. Nothingness is there. Earlier we had the fear. We are doing black magics to get rid of nothingness. Now we go prepared. We have that prepared mind. Even in this multitasking world, some occasions are there, no space, no time, and we are afraid of calling it as Nibbana because of our religious masters. They say, no, Nibbana is something different, it is, you can't understand worldly, you go to Nibbana, you are Nibbana, but in this life, no. With that bloody fellows have never tried even. So that unveiling happened to me in 1980s. When Dhammika was telling, don't listen to any spiritual leader. They become leader because they are fools. They don't know. They have not practiced. If they are practicing, how can you be a leader? You are a disciple. You are a beginner. I mean, we can share. So that gave me a very bright opening, very, how you call it, radical opening. And when I come to Nisarnamaniya, I found Venama Jnanarama and Venama Jnanananda, they are really setting an example. They are very learned, but very appreciating the beginners, appreciating the newcomers. That is, you are in the real turning point in your life. That is well full of thrills and frills. not like we elderly people. So appreciating newcomers, so you have to ever appreciate the beginner's mind. So you are at Nibbana. So Thomas Merton writes, as far as you are innocent, you are in Nibbana. As far as you are assuming me and not me, you are deprived of the Nibbana. You are thrown away from the paradise. You know the paradise story? The beginning of the Bible? Yeah. If you eat the apple, you get knowledge, you are deprived of the paradise. Just be an happy idiot and just be a beginner, then you can understand when we are at the age 5, 6, 7, how nice we were, how playful children we were. But we can't go there. We can go there. People say no. No, they have no rights. But they are always thinking, assuming. We can disclaim. We can disavow. We can be a just newly born baby with all our mistakes, all our knowledge. Then that understanding mistakes is really enlightening. Not the pure people understand the purity. We impure people understand purity. Very dramatic. So that is what 30, 45 years of the Buddha's life, he explained everything, Jataka stories and mistakes he has done, everything. So we feel we get the touch. So present day masters, many don't have that kind of a grounded teaching. Then they are not progressing. No one is talking. You all are just looking. How do you call that? Anything you can, share with us?
I don't really know what to share. I think this is my first experience of anything of the suttas or of Buddhism whatsoever. I have no basis in these teachings. Yeah, so where I come from, in North America, we live very, quiet lifestyle in nature, and meditation and having visions is kind of a normal thing, and looking at dreams. Yesterday during the Q&A, I shared a experience I had during the meditation. And the answer that was given was to be focused on the primary object and not to go with these dreams and bewilderments. So, that was interesting. In the training that I've received in meditation in South America with the Shipibo, has been to develop focus and concentration with the idea of becoming more sensitive in order to work like a doctor, helping others who come to see me and to help them with any sicknesses and diseases through administering plants and other energetic healings. The process that we go through is typically 1 year of living alone and drinking the medicine of a plant. And through this interaction with the plant, we become, we learn from the plant spirit that way. And it visits us in our dreams. And then we learn all of the doctoring ways, how to treat certain sicknesses, first ourselves.
Pranic energy? Pranic? You call pranic energy?
Plant.
Pranic. Prana. And cosmic energy? Healing energy? Pranic? Distance healing, you can do it? Yeah. P-R-A-N-I-C. Pranic.
Is there more I should share? Or?
Your teacher?
Yes.
So someone came and did my pranic healing and gave me the two books, very thick book, and a special this thing, how to sit when you are sitting under trees, you can get it, and some postures and times. Likewise, they can do, and they can do from the distance. Sajit Piris, they are doing pranic healing, that is to get rid of your bodily ailments, air element and the heat element kind of thing. I heard that you are mentioning about the placebo effect. Placebo, did you mention? No, placebo is the ultimatum. If you believe you are healed, you are healed. If you feel you are sick, you are sick. That's it. But your mind is the healer. Many people can provoke it, many people can catalyze it, many people can do it. But if you are not believing, whatever you are doing is nothing. So yesterday I found my copy, the placebo book. It was lost for last time, many times, and it says the placebo. If you believe the doctor, if you believe the medicine, you will get cured. If you don't believe the doctor and if you don't believe the medicine, whatever the money you are giving, the same thing in mantras, in pranic energy, in healing, in cosmic energy, all these belongs to the deciding your faith. If you are believing, your placebo. The last time when I go to Connecticut University, there were three people representing Sadhguru, India. And they say they are using these techniques to make people very civilized, not to kill, not to steal, and that kind of thing. And therefore, the Connecticut University was appreciating them. And they distributed a book in the table. And I took the book and looked at the last page to see whether they have mentioned about anything about placebo. So the one mention in page number 37, I took it and saw this is one of your books. You are talking about the placebo. And what is the meaning of mantra? Then what is the meaning of healing energy? What is the pranic? This is for advanced people. For normal people, we can use the cosmic energy, healing powers, then I accept it. But later you understand, Mano Pubbangama Dhamma, Mano Setta, Mano Maya. Mind is the forerunner. Everything is mind-made. If your mind is healthy, and you believe health, you will become healthy. I am not telling 100%. Even the Buddha has some sicknesses. So that is what Robertson wrote a book about relaxation response. Accordingly, the transcendental meditation vanished. Have you heard about TM meditation, transcendental? They had the mantra. So after chanting mantra, you get the photostat memory and clarity. So you can read the books and go to the exam and you can teach the thing. When we were in the university, our batch, the batch stop was Tenakon. No, Tilakaratna, he was doing transcendental. But the chief advisor, Dr. Robertson, is a brain specialist. He proved mantra has no special power. If you are believing, yes. If you are not believing, no. I mean, no one can verify. I can challenge you, but you are better off. Then why? What is the problem? Ultimately reduced to the placebo. If you are a happy person, you will be happy. Manasasi pasannena bhasativa karotiva tatona sukamang veti chayava anapayini. That is the second Dhammapada verse. If you are with a glad mind, if you are with a positive mind, everything will be positive. If you are with the hateful mind and the not regretting mind, sorry. Whatever the medicine, whatever the doctors, there is no impact. If at all, it is negative. So that is why mind your own business. That's why I am telling, mind your own business. But that is the ultimatum, but very difficult to digest it, very difficult to go into that. So till that you may follow whatever the faith you have. no harm. But you have to understand it's not the lasting one. It's for the moment, yes. But one day, that also will be questionable. Okay, if there are no other questions, no other contribution, we can stop. Or otherwise, we can invite if anyone wish to contribute to the discussion.
Good morning, Panthe. So, what would you say to people who are agnostic about rebirth?
About
and Nibbana, like not sure that don't have the faith that probably most of the monastics here do have, that there's this cycle.
You take atheism also to the same list, atheist?
Sure, or Christians or Muslims or any faith that doesn't, many people are not of the same faith as Theravada Buddhists. So I'm just curious what you would say. What is the place of mindfulness practice? Or this, is there a place for people in this religion who are not sure about rebirth? Maybe that's my question.
No, atheism, I try to study. They are the highest believers. They believe atheism. You can't remove it. Theistic people, you can disprove and kick him off. Atheists, hardest believers. So they are foolish fellows, foolhardy.
I would put atheism and Theravada Buddhism almost on the same place. On the spectrum.
No, I read Richard Davidson.
So hard to prove.
Richard Dawkins, have you heard?
Yeah.
And I read all the books. And one place he has mentioned Theravada Buddhism. I thought otherwise he don't know that this thing. He says, I met a Thai girl and got the autistic boy, and she's utterly treating the own son. Don't consider it as a wastage of time. It was very amazing for me. The mother is taking care about the autistic boy, and then ask her, how do you make up your mind? Then she says, it is his bad karma. Past life. And then onward, Richard Dawkins is blaming that lady like anything. Thinking that he is a born unlucky person. Who the hell mother has that kind of rights? She has gone very, he's gone very, very close. The mother has taken the son, forgiving everything and taking care. But the reasoning give because that boy was born autistic because it's past karma. And he's inferior. Mother is superior. Then he says, not well taken. So therefore, atheism, that book, one time, the God Delusion, have you read the book? People purchased 3 books for me. Everywhere that was the best selling. A very nice book. Recently he came to Gaul, has given a talk. Then I thought that he is having some kind of acquaintance with the Theravada tradition. But the atheism and Theravada, very difficult to put. The atheism is going to some kind of a reaction, nihilistic. Theravada is not nihilistic. It is not a reaction. It's a thesis, not the theism. So Theravada is proving, that is what it says. I can give you a solid answer. The second version, Buddha is giving the positive idea. And then the third version, he says what to do. So the theistic people, they don't believe anything. They don't lead to anything. They deny everything. Very nasty. Very nasty. So when I am reading, I learn a lot. I was not aware of the Catholics. I was not aware of the Holy Wars, White Wars, and what a nasty thing they did. But he is whacking everything. Richard Dawkins. But he can't come close to Nibbana. I read, from my perspective, the Karl Marx, the materialistic gain. And some people say he has a very big basic of the Buddhism, then only he came out with this materialistic world, and he had some. There are some parallelism. And when the Arthur Schopenhauer And psychiatric Western psychology, Sigmund Freud. He says Sigmund Freud also at the end going to the Arthur Schopenhauer Bay. They everything says they have kind of a touch with the Buddha. There is some parallelism. But I read as much as possible. Professor Padma Siddha Silla wrote a book about the Freudian and Buddhist philosophy. Fourth version. And Richard Dawkins. And Arthur Schopenhauer, Nietzsche. And little bit of Freudian. And Jungian. And there are some points we can take them. But they have not presenting any thesis. Sigmund Freud says the psychiatric situation have no natural death. He can be a psychiatrist. Otherwise, you can't give a certificate saying your psychiatric problem is finished. You can be another psychiatrist. All the psychiatrists are psychiatric patients. That is all the ultimately. There's a cartoon after Sigmund Freud died. The cartoon is the psychiatric is treating a psychiatric patient, and he is having his photo of the teacher. Teacher's photo, patient, and everything is Sigmund Freud. Teacher also Sigmund Freud, patient also Sigmund Freud, psychiatrist also Sigmund Freud. So all Buddha's presentation is thesis. There is a kind of a thing, not nihilism, not reactionism. Okay, now the bell is ringing. Thank you very much for the participation. That's the end of our today's discussion. Next time we will start with the fourth verse.
We'd like to share the merits with passed away relatives, celestial beings, and all beings. We'll recite the traditional Pali verses.